The portion of God's Word that we read this morning is Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. Actually, what we'll do is begin in chapter 1. We'll read chapter 1, verse 18, through chapter 2, verse 15. Text for the sermon is the beginning of Matthew chapter 2, the first 11 verses on the history of the wise men from the east. The Word of God at Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah? For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go, and search diligently for the young child. And when ye had found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt. And be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Thus far we read the holy and inspired scriptures. As I said, the text for the sermon is the first 11 verses on the history of the wise men. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, we consider this morning the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ from the point of view of the wise men from the east, as it's recorded in the chapter that we just read, Matthew chapter 2. By considering the birth of Christ from the perspective of the wise men, the hope is that we together this morning as the people of God would be led to do all the more what we are doing this morning, and that is worshiping this one whose birth we celebrate this morning, Jesus Christ. When you consider the wise men from the East, there are many fascinating and applicable truths that you can derive from this history. None of them are as important as this. Those wise men came for the singular purpose to worship the one born in Bethlehem. And may this, by the work of God in us this morning, spur us on to do the exact same thing, to be like these wise men and bring our gifts and to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is our Lord and our Savior. For it is true, after all, that those wise men, many years ago, as we will see, were Gentiles. They represented us. They, as wise men, some 2,000 years ago, worshipped Jesus. And by the work of God, we this morning, as Gentiles, worship the same Lord Jesus Christ. Let's consider then this, using as our theme, worshipped by the wise men. Let's look first of all this morning at who these wise men were. The Scriptures are very limited in revealing to us information about these wise men. But we have to remember that the Holy Spirit is very deliberate in that which He includes in the Scriptures and that which is not included in the Scriptures. We may want to know a lot about these wise men, but the fact of the matter is that when we read Matthew 2, there is very little that we know about them. And I believe that's deliberate, because by not knowing many of the details that we may want to know about the wise men, what the emphasis falls upon is not necessarily who they are, but what they did. And that's what we'll see this morning. It's significant with respect to who they are, especially as we'll see that they were Gentiles. But what we see this morning is what they did, the faith of these wise men to come and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. But let's talk about what we know about the wise men. And we can do that by seeing the phrase that is spoken of in verse 1. There came wise men from the east. They were from the east. Even that term east is too general for us to figure out exactly where the wise men were from. Relative to Palestine and Jerusalem, they were from a faraway distance in the east. May have been Babylon, Persia, Mesopotamia, Arabia. We simply do not know exactly where the wise men were from. They were wise men. That term, even in and of itself, is filled with some ambiguity. They were men who, as their occupation, studied the heavens. They were what we would call today astrologers. That's evident from the fact that they were able to see the star and recognize something special about the star that they saw in the heavens. But tradition tells us that the wise men were more than that in the ancient days and in the East. The wise men were the learned of the day. They were the authorities, not in just matters having to do with the heavens, but all things scientific and even religious and political. That's why they were oftentimes very influential. They were oftentimes very wealthy too, which in part would explain some of the gifts that they were able to bring to Jesus. But among all of those details that we know about the wise men, as I said at the end of the introduction this morning, what's most significant is the fact that these were Gentiles. God's word in the Old Testament primarily was to the Jews. We know that. All of the history in the Old Testament largely surrounded the Jewish nation. The promises of God came in particular to the Jewish nation. These men were Gentiles. And we're not accustomed to be those who think that way, who think of the entire human race in terms of those two groups. We're accustomed to think of the many different groups of the nations, different races, African American, white American, Mexican, European, Oriental. We think along those lines. But when you go to the Scriptures, you learn very quickly that in the will of God, all of mankind is divided into these two groups, Jew and Gentile. These wise men from the East were Gentiles. And that's significant. Some 2,000 years ago, the first Christmas season when Jesus was born, Gentiles came to Bethlehem to worship Christ. As I said a moment ago, God in the Old Testament primarily worked among the Jewish nation. There were exceptions to that. In fact, there were quite a few exceptions to that, where He incorporated Gentiles into the covenant family and into the kingdom of God. But nevertheless, the promise of God was primarily to the Jewish nation. But even in the Old Testament, this was foreshadowed in many ways, not the least of which is what we read, for example, in Isaiah 49, verse 6. It said at the end of that verse, "I will give also thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth." And what's striking there is that the figure is that of light, a light to the Gentiles. And as we'll see, what was it that the wise men saw that morning or back in the time when Jesus was born? They saw a star giving light off, picturing, of course, the light of life that this Lord Jesus Christ gives. So Gentiles came to Jerusalem to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And the significance of that is that the one that the Gentiles worshiped are saved by that one they worshiped. Jesus Christ saved these wise men. You worship the Lord Jesus Christ. That means you belong to that Lord Jesus Christ. On this Christmas morning, those who truly, in spirit and in truth, from the heart, bring homage to the Lord Jesus Christ are those that are saved by that Christ. Nobody is able to worship this Christ, apart from the work of God of saving them and working true faith in their heart. And so, what is pictured already at the very beginning of Jesus' life in the worship of these wise men of Jesus is what would take place some 33 years later. For this babe whose birth we celebrate this morning would go to that cross. And on that cross, He died for these very men that worshipped Him at the beginning of His life, these Gentile wise men. We are represented in these wise men. And that's the beautiful thing about this history. You look at those wise men some 2,000 years ago, they were Gentiles who worshipped the Christ. And here we are today, Gentiles worshipping this same Lord Jesus Christ. These wise men, while they were in the East, saw the star. The passage does not tell us anything about the time when they were in the East. All it tells us about is when they were in Jerusalem. But by what they say, we can derive what they saw while they were in the East. And that comes from the question in verse 2. "Where is He that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen His star in the East and are come to worship Him." In their study of the heavens, they saw a star. And once again, when you try to determine the nature of that star, it really is impossible to do. Was it an exceptionally large star? Was it an exceptionally bright star? Was it a shooting star? We simply do not know. But in their study of the heavens, they saw a star, and there was something special about that star, and they connected it to the Lord Jesus Christ and His birth. It's not unlikely, too, that there was some sort of special revelation from God to these wise men. These wise men had an understanding of the Scriptures, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. even in the Old Testament, there was a connection between a star and the promised Messiah. That's found in Numbers chapter 24, verse 17. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. So it may have been the case that they saw this star and in their minds put together that this was the star picturing the birth of the promised Messiah, Jesus Christ. But likely in some way God revealed to them that this star that you see is His star, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that raises the interesting question of why it was the case that these men were able to think along these lines and receive this revelation from God, if in fact that was what took place. And the answer to that has to do with what took place most likely in the time between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Because at that time, and even prior to that, the Jews dispersed throughout the world. The Jews of dispersion. And by going throughout the then known world, those Jews would bring with them the Scriptures and their understanding of God and the truth and the promises of God and the revelation about sin and the need for salvation and therefore of Jesus Christ and the one who would come. It was most likely through that interaction that these wise men came to an understanding of who God was and their own need for salvation and this promised Messiah whose birth we celebrate this morning. These were men of faith. They were not men of faith only when they came to Jerusalem and came to Bethlehem and saw the babe in Bethlehem. But these were men of faith prior to that, while they were in the east. They were looking for the promised Messiah. They knew their own sin and their need for the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, when they saw this star, and it was made known to them that it was the star of Christ, this was their response. Let's go and worship this babe that was born. And let that not go unnoticed this morning. The fact that these wise men went to worship Christ. That's what they said in verse 2. We've seen His star in the east and are come to worship Him. And what we must not let go unnoticed this morning is the sacrifice of them doing that. You think about this. We don't know exactly where they were from, but this we know, it wasn't very close to Palestine and Jerusalem and Bethlehem. They undoubtedly traveled great distances in order to come and find this babe that was born. And they didn't come for recognition. They didn't come in order that they would have some favoritism from this one that was born. In fact, they weren't even there very long. But they said to themselves, by the work of God in them, we want to worship this one that was born. And we're going to go, no matter the cost, no matter the time, to worship Christ. It meant something to them. So much so that they brought these gifts and went to Jerusalem to worship the Christ child. And beloved, that leads us to look at ourselves and ask ourselves where our hearts and our souls are with respect to the Lord Jesus Christ and the worship of Him that we are called to give. You look at these wise men and you see the great cost it was for them and the great sacrifice that it was for them to go to Jerusalem and worship Him, but they did it. And it causes us to ask ourselves, what does He mean to us? We didn't have to travel hundreds of miles, taking us weeks to worship Christ this morning. What we had to do was jump in our cars and come to this beautiful building God has given us and worship this Christ. But yet we know what is in us, and we know that part of us that doesn't want to do that. And let this example of the wise men spur us on all the more, no matter what the cost may be, to worship this Lord Jesus Christ, whom we love and whom we serve. They're a marvelous example to us this morning of what it means in true faith to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. So these wise men went to Jerusalem. And it made sense for them to go to Jerusalem because Jerusalem was the capital city of Palestine. And if the king was going to be born, or if there was going to be someone who knew about the king that was born, Jerusalem would be the place to go. They went there. They asked that question, "Where is the king of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Probably to their utter amazement, nobody knew about it. And when it was brought to the attention of Herod, he immediately went about calculating his plan to kill this Christ child. We're not going to talk about at length this morning Herod and the rejection of Christ, but we really can't understand the history of the wise men without saying some things about this rejection by Herod and by Jerusalem. So they went there, they asked that question, and Herod caught wind that they were there and asking about this king of the Jews. And immediately Herod, his anger arose in him and he wanted to do something about it. Of course he did. He was the king. And now they're saying another king is born. And out of a threat of his own kingship and his own dynasty and kingship, he wanted to destroy this Lord Jesus Christ. But more than that, of course, it was a rejection of God Himself and the truth of God in wanting to destroy the Christ. In order to do that, in order to calculate this plan, he had to obtain a couple pieces of information. Number one, he needed to know where he was born. Obviously, when the wise men came, they didn't know where exactly he was born. That's why they were asking the question, "Where is he?" So Herod had to find that out. And the way to find that out was by calling in the scribes and those who were learned in the Old Testament scriptures and asking them, "Where is the king of the Jews to be born?" And they responded by basically quoting Micah 5 verse 2, which told them that in Bethlehem, Ephratah, he would come forth. So he obtained the first piece of information, Bethlehem. The second piece of information that Herod needed was when. When was this Christ born? And in order to obtain that, he called in the wise men. He didn't show his hand to them. He acted like he wanted to know in order to worship them, him, just like the wise men were doing. But he asked them, "When did you see that star?" And most likely, based upon his decree that all of the babies 2 years old and younger were to be killed, the wise men most likely responded by saying it was sometime underneath that two-year period. He probably extended it to make sure that the Christ would be killed. But by telling the king that it was at such and such a time, it led him to make the next step of saying all the babies 2 years old and younger were to be killed. So Herod had the information he needed, and he did as what we would have read at the end of Matthew chapter 2. He made that decree that all the baby boys 2 years old and younger were to be killed in Bethlehem. When you look at Herod, you see the rejection of the Christ. But what's striking is that it's not just Herod. Verse 3 adds at the end of the verse, "and all Jerusalem with him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled. His entire life, a rejection by his own people, which would ultimately lead to the place that he was going, namely the cross. The very rejection of him was the means God used to lead him to the cross and the salvation of his people. What a stark contrast, of course, between the faith of the Gentiles in the Christ child and the rejection of the Jewish nation. And beloved, when you see that contrast and when you look at yourself, who are here this morning, desirous to worship this Christ, fellowship and love, it's not those things in the true sense of the word. It's a family and fellowship and love without the Christ, which means that it's no love at all. But I bring that up simply because when we look at what the nation does with the Christmas holiday, we know that that's who we are by nature. We have to fight against this. Children, you need to fight against that at this time of the year. A time of gifts and presents, which is all okay, of course. But it's not okay when it becomes everything to you with respect to the Christmas holiday. But that struggle that is in our hearts that we know demonstrates to us exactly what we see in this passage. That there's a part of us that is no different than the Jerusalem that was troubled by the birth of Jesus. And therefore, though we are here, we know that we're here not of ourselves. We're here this morning and can number ourselves with the Gentiles, the wise men who worshipped Him only by the grace and the work of God in us. So thankful we can be this morning that we celebrate Christmas in the true sense of the word. That God, by His work in us and by His salvation of us through the Lord Jesus Christ, works in such a way that we do worship Him this morning. We recognize our weaknesses, we recognize our sins, but yet we do, as the wise men of old on this Christmas morning, worship the Lord Jesus Christ. When you see that rejection, may it lead us not in pride to say, look at who we are, but may it lead us in humility to say, thanks be to God. These wise men, therefore, continued. And they continued to find the Lord Jesus Christ in Bethlehem. The star reappeared. And we read in verse 10 that when they saw the star, they rejoiced and with exceeding great joy. At this time, it may have been the case that they were wondering if all of this was true. The devil may have been working in their hearts doubt at this time, trying to get them to abandon what they came to do, find this child and worship Him. Here they are in Jerusalem and nobody knows about it and nobody cares about it. Is this true? But yet God confirmed their faith and He gave to them the star, which led them to be exceedingly joyful. And once again, that star, now not just indicating that He had been born, but now indicating where He had been born, led them to Bethlehem. And in some way showed to them exactly where Jesus was born. And so they went, and as verse 11 tells us, when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped Him. You see the theme throughout all of Matthew 2, the worship that they offered to the Christ. There He was, a baby, in a house. There they were, on their knees, worshiping Him. And beloved, you worship the one that you acknowledge to be God. God is the one who is the receptor of worship, is the one who receives worship. And so by worshiping Christ, that baby, what they were doing was acknowledging that this baby that we see is nothing less than God Himself. And you worship someone by giving them things. And that's what they did. They opened their treasures. And they presented unto Him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. We know what the first one is, obviously, gold. Frankincense and myrrh are a little bit more unfamiliar to us. Very simply, they were expensive perfumes of the ancient day. These were valuable gifts that they gave to the Lord Jesus Christ. Calling for us this morning as the church, as we contemplate the birth of our Savior, is exactly as the wise men did, acknowledge Him as the very Son of God, the one who would go to that cross as God to satisfy the justice of God as only He could on our behalf to save us from our sins. Calling for us this morning is with exceeding joy in our hearts, do exactly as those wise men did, and present unto Him our gifts, and worship Him on bended knee. There may be a parallel here between physical gifts. You can think about it in those terms. They brought physical gifts to Jesus. And that's part of our worship, isn't it? Every Lord's Day, when we give of our actual physical gifts to Christ, and that's how we need to think about it. When we give to the kingdom causes, we're giving to the very Christ whose kingdom and church it is. But beloved, it's more than that. It's the gift of our own life. Romans tells us that we are to offer a sacrifice to God, which is our reasonable service. The gifts that we owe to this Lord Jesus Christ is the gift of our life, the gift of our service, the gift of giving ourselves in every respect in obedience to His Word out of thankfulness to Him, serving Him in whatever we do. Let us re-examine that this morning. Think about that with respect to yourself. Am I offering myself as a gift to the Lord Jesus Christ? In whatever station of life I am, am I giving my reasonable service, serving Him as a mother or a father or a child or in whatever calling of life I am, obeying His Word because this Lord Jesus Christ is no longer the babe that was in Bethlehem, but He's the babe in Bethlehem who gave Himself as the perfect gift. He went to that cross and died for us. And no longer now is on this earth in humility, but gloriously ascended to the heavens above and sits at God's right hand. And now our calling is to worship Him. To worship Him as we do today, but to worship Him all of our life long. To give to Him, as those wise men of old gave to Him, gifts. And so let us on this Christmas day, beloved, do just that. Recognize the great gift that the Lord Jesus Christ is to us. He gave Himself, and may we in return, because He gave Himself and loved us first, in return love Him and give to Him our gifts and sacrifices of praise. May God so give us the grace and strength to do that today and all our lives long. Amen.